grace this day.
Our scripture reading today is 1 Kings 18, 25 through 39. I'll read the italicized if you'll join me in the bold. And Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, choose you one bullock from yourself among yourselves, and dress it first, for ye are many, and call on the name of your gods, and put no fire under. And it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he is talking, or he is pursuing, or he is in a journey, or peradventure he sleepeth and must be awakened. And it came to pass, when midday was past, and they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that there was neither voice nor any to answer, nor any that regarded. And Elijah took 12 stones, according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And he put the wood in order. And he cut the bullock into pieces and laid him on the wood and said, fill 4 barrels with water and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. And the water ran around about the altar and filled the trench also with water. And said, Lord, God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all the things at thy word. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. Father, we thank you because you are the God. We declared that this morning, Lord, that you are the Lord, our God. There is none other, Father. There is no other gods beside you. So, Father, we praise you this morning. We worship you, Father, for you are a mighty God. Lord, we come to you this morning, and we lay our hearts before you, and we ask that you would make us one, Father God, that you would unite us as believers, and that we would worship you, Father, in one accord this morning, that you would be exalted, that your name would be lifted on high. Father, we praise you for your mighty works and your mighty deeds. You're good. You're so good, Father. We worship you. It's in your name that we pray. Amen.
Of God, the great blessing of knowing him, the great wonder of being able to be called his children. He is so good to us, and we are so thankful. We are so grateful this day. But I tell you, this day we need him. This day I need him. There's so much to say, so much to think, and I need a clear mind and a clear head. I need to slow down and allow God to speak. So will you pray with me? Dear Father, I need you. Without you, we can do nothing. Without you, we're just going through the motions. Without you, there's nothing that we can do that's of any value. Without you, this is just an exercise in futility. Without you, God, how can we even dare to open the scriptures, your holy word, and make any sense of them? So we're asking, Lord, that you would just fall on us, that you would pour out your spirit upon us in a real way, that all of us here this day are ears would be open to what the Spirit of the Lord has to say, that our ears would be open and that we would communicate with you in such a way that you have spoken to us and we are changed. Change us. Work in us. We need you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our scripture today starts in chapter 18 of 1 Kings. And it's a really fascinating thing. We, because of the length, we kind of entered into the middle of a fascinating story. I'm going to start at verse 1 just because I want you to get it. And it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, go show thyself unto Ahab. There's a big famine going on. Everything is dried up. Go show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. And Elijah went to show himself unto Ahab, and there was a sore famine in Samaria. And Ahab, by the way, Ahab is the worst king ever. This guy is like, God says, now this is the worst. Nobody's been this bad. He's worshiping Baal. He's doing all kinds of crazy things. He's married this woman who is nuttier than he is, and they are dangerous people. So verse 3, and Ahab called Obadiah, which was the governor of his house. Now Obadiah feared the Lord greatly. For it was so when Jezebel, that's Ahab's wife, when Jezebel cut off the prophets of the Lord, that Obadiah took 100 prophets and hid them by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water. So this guy is doing everything he can for God, everything he knows to do to save the people of God. And Ahab said unto Obadiah, go into the land unto all the fountains of water and unto all brooks. Peradventure we may find grass to save the horses and mules alive, that we lose not all the beasts. They were looking for any place that water was sprouting up and hoping that near that water there might be a little grass so they didn't have to watch the death of all their animals, and really that would be part of their fortune and their ability to get around. Verse 6, so they divided the land between them to pass through it. Ahab went one way by himself, and Obadiah went another way by himself. And as Obadiah was in the way, behold, Elijah met him, and he knew him, and fell on his face and said, art thou that my Lord Elijah? There he is, face to face with this guy who has this tremendous reputation. You didn't mess with Elijah, and people knew that. And he answered him, I am. Go tell thy Lord, behold, Elijah is here. And Obadiah says, what have I sinned that thou wouldest deliver thy servant into the hand of Ahab to slay me? As the Lord thy God liveth, there is no nation or kingdom whither my Lord have not sent to seek thee. And when they said, he is not here, he took an oath of the kingdom and nation, and they found thee not. And now thou sayest, go tell thy Lord, behold, Elisha is here. And it shall come to pass, as soon as I am gone from thee, that the Spirit of the Lord shall carry thee whither I know not. And so when I come, tell Ahab, and he cannot find thee, he shall slay me. But I, thy servant, fear the Lord from my youth. Was it not told my Lord that I did in Jezebel when... what I did when Jezebel slew the prophets of the Lord, how I hid 100 men of the Lord's prophets by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water. And now thou sayest, go tell thy Lord. Behold, Elijah is here, and he shall slay me. And Elijah said, as the Lord of hosts liveth, before whom I stand, I will surely show myself unto him today. So Obadiah went to meet with Ahab and told him, and Ahab went to meet Elijah. And it came to pass, when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said unto him, art thou he that troubleth Israel? Is that you? And he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam. Now therefore, send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel and the prophets of Baal, 450, and the prophets of the groves, 400, which eat at Jezebel's table. I got a challenge for you. You go get them. Bring them all. And so Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? How long are you going to limp between what you're thinking, going back and forth? How long are you going to try to do this syncretic thing and try to mix them together? How long are you going to do that? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. I can see now they're just getting some popcorn saying, I want to see what's going to happen here. This is a real deal. There's a show about to happen. Something is real. He's come out of the woodwork, standing before people and challenging all of these false prophets. See, because this is really a contest between God and Baal. This is just an amazing thing here. Then said Elijah, verse 22, unto the people, I only remain a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let them therefore give us two bullocks, and let them choose one bullock for themselves and cut it in pieces and lay it on wood and put no fire under. And I will dress the other bullock and lay it on wood and put no fire under it. So they are preparing a sacrifice. They do it, put it on the wood, put it on the altar, and they do all of that. And call ye on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord. And the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. How confident are you in your prayers? Have you ever prayed a prayer that if it didn't come through, it would cost you your life? Have you ever lived in such a way that you've really put it all out there? God, if you don't save me, if you don't work in this situation, if you're not it, I'm in trouble. But I'm going to trust you anyway. Sometimes we come to the point. Now, don't go risking your life. Don't go stand in the middle of 82 and say, if the car runs me over, then no, please don't do that. You need to make sure whatever you do, whatever you stake your life on, is in line with the truth of the Word of God. Is something that you know, that you know, that you know that God has spoken to you. We need to have a relationship with God. We need to let the Word of God dwell in us richly. So that you could correct and rebuke and encourage and all of the things that need to happen. We need to have that Word of God, that Word that is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, even dividing of soul and spirit and of joint and marrow. We need to let that live Word be working in us. We need to be people that live according to the Word of God, and we are not people who are double-minded. Oh, Lord, make me a man who is of a single mind set on you. Lord, we need to be people that don't halt, limp between two opinions. Mm-hmm. Elijah says to the people, I only remain a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let them therefore give us two bullocks. Think about this now. I want you to see the picture. Two animals. Let them choose one bullock for themselves and cut it in pieces and lay it on the wood. Put no fire under it, and I will dress the other bullock and lay it on wood and put no fire under it. And call ye on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord, and the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, it is well spoken. Yeah, well, I like that. Something's about to happen here. This is something. And Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, choose you one bullock for yourselves and dress it first. For ye are many and call on the name of your gods, but put no fire under it. Yeah, in this game of horse, you go first. Show me your stuff. And they took the bullock which was given them and they dressed it and called on the name of Baal from morning until noon. I mean, they were serious about this thing, saying, oh, Baal, hear us. But there was no voice, nor any that answered. And they leaped upon the altar, which was made. And it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them. He's talking stuff now. He mocked them. He said, cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he's talking, maybe he's talking to somebody, or pursuing, or he is in a journey, or peradventure, maybe he's just sleeping, and you gotta wake him up. Come on, Baal, wake up. And they cried aloud. They were mad. And they cried aloud and cut themselves after their manner with knives and lances till the blood gushed out of them. I don't know if I'd be too excited about it. God says, well, cut yourself for me, will you? And it came to pass. When midday was passed, and they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice. They're about 3 o'clock now. And there was neither voice nor any to answer, nor any that regarded. Wasn't any help coming for these guys. And Elijah said unto all the people, come near to me. And all the people came near unto him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. There was a place that they had worshiped God. And he repaired that. He said, we got to fix this thing up. Sometimes we have to see how far things have broken down. Spiritualizing this a little bit. Sometimes we have to get our act together, put things back in order, begin to do things rightly, to fix it. What's our worship like? Are we truly worshiping him in spirit and in truth? Are we truly loving him by the way that we live? Are we truly caring for those that he cares for? Are we truly being the people that we're supposed to be? Sometimes we need to repair the altars. And Elijah took 12 stones. He brought them back to their beginning. Took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob. 12 stones, remembering that they were united together as a family, united together to serve God. He took 12 stones. According to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel, people of God, shall be thy name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, in the name of the Lord, dedicated to his character, dedicated to who he is, dedicated to who they are in relationship to him. They built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he made a trench about the altar as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. And he put the wood in order and cut the bullock in pieces and laid him on the wood and said, fill 4 barrels with water and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. And he said, do it the second time. And they did it the second time. And he said, do it a third time. And they did it a third time. And the water ran round about the altar, and he filled the trench also with water. Everything is soaked. Everything is so. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God, I put it all on the line. Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day. Let it be known this day that thou art God. There's nobody like you. You are God. You are the one and only God. That thou art God in Israel. And by the way, let them know I'm your servant. I want to identify myself with you. I serve the living God and I serve no other. I serve you. Let them know that you are God and that I am yours. And that I have done all these things at thy word. At the end of a day, can you look back and say, you know, I did this, I lived this way, I gave myself to this, I didn't do this because of his word? Wouldn't it be a great thing if at the end of each day we could look back and say, oh, I did that because of God's word, because that's what he said do. What a satisfying way to live, to be able to look back and say, I satisfied his will. And you know, there's something good about that too, because there are going to be those days where you look back and you didn't get it right. But you've got his promises. And you've got this tremendous promise that says, if I confess my sin, and that's whenever I'm at odds with you, confess my sin when I've done more than I should or done less than I should or didn't do what I could or whatever, Lord, when I have sinned, if I confess my sin, if I agree with you about what I did and that it wasn't right, if I confess my sin, you're faithful. You're faithful. You're consistent. You're faithful and you're just. It's the right thing to do because my sins have been paid for by the blood of your son, Jesus Christ. If I confess, you are faithful and just to forgive me my sin, what I've done, and cleanse me from all. From all unrighteousness. From all of it. You're faithful and just. You do that. You cleanse me from all unrighteousness. I can do that. And so I can now celebrate as if I had done everything right all day. So either way, you get the pleasure of God. You get the joy of the Lord. You get the peace of God. Because if you couldn't get it done, he's already got it done for you. And you just have to agree with him on that. No, he's good to us. Hear, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God and that thou hast turned their heart back again. You flipped the script. You helped them to repent. You've given them the gift of repentance to be able to adjust their hearts. Adjust my heart, Lord. Change me, turn me back again so that I am in line with your truth. Then the fire of the Lord fell. The fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. Woo! Yeah, we take a little step back. God showing himself real. God showing himself amazing. God wants to show himself real and amazing in your life. He wants to show himself real and amazing in your life. Hang yourself out there for him and watch him let the fire fall. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces. When the people see what God is doing in your life, changing you, working in you, especially if they knew you, when they see what he's doing in you, that will be proof of God. Look at this. Look at this. He says, fell on their faces. They said, the Lord, he is God. The Lord is the God. The Lord, he is the God. The Lord, he is the God. If he can work in my life, if he can change me, he can change anything. If he can change me, he can make a difference in you. If he can change me, he is God, and he is God all by himself. He is God, and I love him. He is God, and I praise him. He is God. God is good. God is great. He's wondrous, amazing. And he wants to see a change in you. He wants to see. He wants to work through you. What's one of our favorite little things that we say here? That our God, our amazing God, let the word work in you. God wants to do something even this day. So, the Lord, he is God. Do you recognize that today? Do you recognize that the Lord, our Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, he is God? Do you recognize today that he was crucified? He died. He rose again, resurrected by the power of the Spirit. Now sitting at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for you. Today is the day. Do you get it? He wants you. And he is able, because the Lord, he is the God. Would you bow your head? You might want to pray this prayer. Dear Father, I am glad you are the God. I am thankful that you provided a way for me to be right with you. And I believe saving me, but I've not forgotten that it's all about you. Thank you, Lord, for changing me. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, if God is working in your heart while we're singing, you're free to come to the altar. You're free to come to the altar anytime. Yeah. I pray that God is working in you this day. I believe that he is. because I believe that he's doing things that we can't even possibly imagine. So today, let him work in you and let it be seen, so that somebody else might say, the Lord.